singing. And especially appreciate Dr. Weir for his singing. He's a great contributor. We are still looking at 2 Timothy tonight. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 14 to 17. Now, this morning we had a insert in the bulletin, sermon notes. I'm not sure if you still have those with you. I don't know if there are any more, but there are more if you need some. Zachary can get some for you. Anybody need a sermon note? Zachary can get some. Again, just to remind you, we're going through this first phase, discipleship process. We call it evangelize, and we're in week 4. This morning we looked at really what was in week 3. Now we're looking at week 4, and this is the text that we have come to. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 14 to 17. As we come to God's Word, will you join me in prayer? Father, once again, we have your Word open to us. Your Word is true. It is full of instruction for us to learn this way of wisdom that leads to salvation. And so we ask that by the insight and understanding that you give through your Holy Spirit, we might continue to grow in our wisdom as we take knowledge and apply it to our lives, even leading to a deeper knowledge and understanding and appreciation for your great salvation. And so, Father, we ask for the ministry of your Spirit. Even if we might be tired at the end of this day, we pray that you are attentive to the preaching of your word, even myself, that we might learn and be taught by you, Lord. So bless now the preaching and hearing of your word. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Beginning with the reading of God's word. Again, 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 14. But as for you, continue in what you have learned. Paul's talking to Timothy here. What you have learned and have become convinced of, because you know those from whom you learned it. And how from infancy you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. If you were to look at your life on a graph, and there is a growth curve, we know that sanctification is a process of being transformed, being conformed to the image of Christ, so there is a growth curve there. What would that growth curve look like from the beginning of your walk in with Christ? You might see some spikes, rapid growth at the beginning. You might see some times of plateau. You might see some dips or small rises, slow rises on that chart. But what about now? Where are you now in your maturing in Christ? What would it look like on that chart if we were to see it on your really representing your life? Well, in Hebrews chapter 6, verse 1, it says, let us move beyond the elementary teachings or the elementary principles about Christ and be taken forward to maturity, not laying again the foundation of repentance and faith in God. We don't know who wrote Hebrews. But whoever wrote Hebrews is saying, let us move beyond. Let us not remain stunted in our growth. Let us move beyond to maturity, beyond the elementary principles. And what are those elementary principles? He mentions a few here, repentance and faith in God. Well, in this training, this discipleship training, I've made four, I think there are five here, systematic theology categories. So basics. Theology. Who is God? God is one in three persons. So those are basics that we need to move beyond. We know that. about man, anthropology. What do we need to know about man? That man is totally depraved. The third category, Christology. What do we need to know about Christ? That Christ is the only Savior. There's no other name given among men by which we must be saved. And then soteriology, that's the doctrine of salvation. And the call that for all those who to repent of sin and to trust in Christ. And the last category is end times judgment, that Christ will return. Those are basics, elementary principles. And all of us need to move from that, continue to grow from that, from those basics. And that's what we're talking about here. Whether you are plateauing right now, or maybe you find yourself backsliding, or maybe right now there's a real growth curve in your life. You're making progress in your walk with the Lord. The encouragement, whatever it is, wherever you are right now, the encouragement is the same for all of us, and that is to continue. Continue. Continue learning. Keep learning. Continue growing in wisdom. In the wisdom. Why is that? Because gaining wisdom for salvation is through an active faith. It's active. We believe, but it's active. And that activity we're talking about is continuing. That's what Paul is saying here. Continue, Timothy. Continue. Now, at this time, Paul was an old man. Timothy was 50 years old. I looked it up. Some people make calculations here. He's 50 years old at the time of this writing, of this letter to him. He had 20 years of ministry under his belt, and he had 30 more left. 30 more years of ministry left. But Paul's time was complete. He was finishing his race. Now Paul is charging Timothy to continue in the things that he learned from him. Look at verse 10. What are the things that he learned from him? His way of from Paul, his way of life, his purpose, his faith, patience, love, endurance, persecutions, sufferings. All those things that he learned from Paul, he was to continue in those things. Now, he said there will be persecutions ahead in verse 12. He says, if you want to live a godly life, you will be persecuted. We looked at that this morning. That's a guarantee. You live a godly life, you will be persecuted. And then in verse 13, he reminds them that there will be false teachers. There will be evil men. There will be those who are deceiving and those who are deceived. Here we come to our verses for tonight, to continue. Verse 14, but as for you, Timothy, as for you, continue, continue, continue in what? The main point is this, continue learning wisdom for salvation. Continue learning wisdom for salvation. And there are three ways to continue learning wisdom for salvation. The first is continue in what you know. Verse 14 and 15. Continue in what you know. What do we know about Timothy? If you look at chapter 1, verse 5, we learn that his mother was called Eunice. And she was a Jewish believer. And Timothy's grandmother is called Lois. And she was also a believer. Timothy's father was a Greek and he was pagan. We have his mother, Timothy's mother, and his grandmother who taught Timothy the Word of God. Since when? Since infancy. If you look at verse 14 there. Continue what we've learned and become convinced of, because you know these things from whom, those his mother and grandmother, you've learned it. And verse 15, how from infancy you have known the Holy Scriptures. From infancy. Now, this word infancy is speaking of infants, very young children. Even the word is used for John when he was still in the womb of his mother and heard the voice of Mary, the mother of Jesus. That's infancy. Even Jesus lying in a manger, that's the word there used for infant. So these are very young children. So since Timothy was that young, he was being taught the Holy Scriptures. From infancy, it says, you have known and been acquainted with the Holy Scriptures. This knowledge was given to him for wisdom that led him to salvation. I listened to a podcast by a man called Albert Mohler. I don't know if you ever heard about him, but it's excellent. Albert Mohler, and he speaks on Christian worldview. And I heard a great podcast recently, just a story, an article that came out, and it was called Language Learning Starting in the Womb. Studies are showing that in the third trimester, babies recognize the sounds of their mother's voice. And they prefer that voice over any other voice because that's the voice they hear all the time. So that's when you can start. You can start your teaching of your children when they can hear your voice in the third trimester. Whether you are sitting together as a family, I'm speaking more to the families now, sitting together as a family in family worship, singing the Word of God, praying, and even preaching to your children. I did that with my children. Got up close and preached to my children in the womb. The gospel. Well, this is a very strong encouragement to mothers. We have some mothers here, and showing the vital role that mothers have with their children. Why? Because while fathers might be in the workplace all day, you have all these hours with your children. You have the most hours with them. And your influence is so great to leading them to this wisdom for salvation. Our goal as parents, the father's responsibility in training up our children, our goal is to see, this is my goal for my boys, is to see them qualified to become elders and deacons in the church. Looking at those qualifications, 1 Timothy 3, and training them up to attain those qualifications. And then reading Ephesians chapter 5 and saying, these are the kind of husbands that we want them to be. 1 Peter 3. Now what about our girls? Reading Proverbs 31. That standard of a woman, a young lady rising up to that place where a husband would praise her and say, you are a Proverbs 31 woman. 1 Peter 3, Ephesians 5, wife. These are the standards. These are the qualifications we're looking for in our children to train them up to that level. But for us who are adults, those whether you have been trained up in the ways of the Lord or whether you have 5 years or 10 years in the Lord, whatever you have, continue in what you know. Continue in what you know to date. The goal of discipleship, if you're discipling someone, is not simply to have people know about God, about the Bible. You know that. But we want them to be taught of the Lord. In Isaiah 54:13, it says, all your children shall be taught by the Lord. That's what we want. We want them to be taught by the Lord. Ultimately, it's the Lord teaching them, and God uses us, so that they would know the Lord, not just about the Lord. So the goal for all of us is that we would be firm believers in the Lord and our children as well. That we would own Christ, they would own Christ as our Lord and Savior. So continuing to know in what we know. Continue, secondly, in what you believe. Continue in what you believe. That's the second point. Still looking at verses 14 and 15. Continue in what you believe. Timothy was convinced of what he was taught by the Lord through his mother, Eunice, his grandmother, Lois, and Paul. Paul was also teaching him and training him. And it was all from the Holy Scriptures. And that knowledge of the truth was leading him to wisdom for salvation. Now this is in contrast to the false teachers, those people who were leading many astray. Evil men, he says here, deceiving and being deceived. Now the scriptures are true. We have this word that is true, that this is the only way where we will find wisdom that leads to salvation. And that is by grace through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. This is what we believe. We believe in Jesus Christ being taught in the Scriptures as He is and trusting in Him. Here's a story of faith, of believing, a story of a woman called Monica. Monica was a wife of a non-Christian, a pagan man. And she prayed for her children as being almost like a single mother, raising up her children to know the Lord, to come to Christ. And she brought her children up in that way. And her most promising son, whose name was Augustine, ignored his mother's warnings. He actually took a wife when he was 19 years old and ran away with her. But at the age of 31, after his mother prayed for her son, Augustine, for years, all of these years, trusting in God, one day, Augustine heard some children playing nearby, and they were saying, pick up the book, pick up the book. And he had a Bible, he picked it up, and he just opened it, and fell on Romans chapter 13, 14. Put on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make no provision for the flesh. And that's the way he was living, according to the flesh. And he was convicted. It says in his confessions, light infused into my heart, and the darkness of doubt vanished. Why? Because of a mother, Monica, who prayed for this man, never gave up praying for this man, Augustine. And we know him to be such an influential man in the history of the church. Doubt replaced by faith. If we are led by, as Augustine was, by empty philosophy, by worldly wisdom, the appearance of wisdom, it will only lead to death. But true wisdom is this: knowledge, what we know, but then applied. This is what wisdom is: knowledge applied. And that is when faith comes into action. When we take that knowledge, what we know about the Lord, we apply it to our lives by faith, and that is wisdom. And so it's not just knowing Christ as our Savior, but it's being known by Him. And it's being found in Him. That is true wisdom. That is true knowledge of the Lord. So you might know a lot about the Scriptures. You might know all of the Scriptures. But if you don't know the Christ of the Scriptures, there's no salvation. You have not yet believed. It's not an intellectual exercise. It needs to come from the heart. You must believe from the heart. It comes from here. It is a call for all of us to know Christ, to believe Christ, and to become like Christ. That's what it means to continue in what you believe. The third thing is continue to completion. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 16 to 17. Such important verses in the Bible. Let's look at these. Continue to completion. We believe that the Scriptures are sufficient for faith and life. Do you believe that? That's our testimony in this church. We believe that the Scriptures are sufficient for faith and life. That's what we have, this Latin phrase, sola scriptura, Scripture alone. And it's all of Scripture, and it's for every good work. That's what it says here. All of Scripture is God-breathed and is profitable for teaching, rebuke, correction, and training in righteousness, that the man of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. All of Scripture for every good work. This is what we have the doctrine called verbal plenary inspiration. Try to remember that. Verbal plenary inspiration. Let me break it down. Verbal, that means that God chose to speak to us in words, using words. And every word found in Scripture is given by God. That's verbal. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 13, it says, when you receive the word of God, which you heard from us, you accepted it not as the word of men, but as it actually is. The word of God, which is at work in you who believe. This is verbal inspiration. Now, plenary inspiration. Plenary means all, complete, full. All of God's words are inspired. So, therefore, everything in the Bible, if it's inspired by God, all of it, then it's all of it is authoritative. Romans chapter 15, verse 4. Listen to this. Everything that was written in the past was written to teach us so that through endurance and encouragement of the Scriptures, we might have hope. Everything in the Scriptures is given to us to instruct us. So that's plenary inspiration. The last is, what is inspiration? It means that the Bible is God-breathed. When you breathe, you inhale, you exhale. And it's the exhale part of breathing that we're speaking of here. Inspiration, where God breathes out the Word. And that is this inspiration. It is inspired by God, divinely directed. 2 Peter 1:20 speaks of the mechanism of how this is directed. For prophecy never has its origin in the will of man, but men spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit. As they were carried along by the Holy Spirit, they wrote the God-inspired words. All of them. And every one of them. Every word. And all of these words are profitable. They are useful. They are beneficial, as it says here. It is profitable. For what? Four things. Four things that the Word of God is profitable for. First of all, teaching. Teaching. It refers to instruction in doctrine. That's where, from the pulpit or in Sabbath school, whatever, it's teaching the Word of God. Doctrine. Teaching doctrine. Secondly, rebuking. That means refuting error. If you hear error from the pulpit, or if you're hearing a sermon that you're listening to and you see error, this is where we need to rebuke. Gently, graciously, in humility, but rebuking error. Correcting. That's the idea of reformation. Of if there are any faults, it's bringing reformation, correcting. And the last is training in righteousness. And that has the idea of real training, of discipline, even chastisement, being chastened. So that kind of training of discipline. What's the purpose of all this? Is so that the servant of God, the man of God, may be thoroughly furnished, thoroughly equipped for every good work. Equipped for every good work. The idea of being complete, adequate, qualified, and mature for every good work. So the Scriptures equip us to continue to completion, to maturity. That is the goal. There's a YouTube video that I've watched several times because it is so inspiring. In 2016, the World Triathlon Championships, the two brothers, the Bromley brothers, they often exchange winning these races. But this time, Jonathan was in the lead. And just less than a kilometer left, he was faltering. He started walking and he was tottering. And his brother, Alistair, comes around the corner and sees him like this, grabs his arm, puts his arm around his shoulders, over his back, and he basically drags him over the finish line and pushes him over the finish line. Well, another one had come past him, so he came first. But Jonathan, the one who was not going to finish, he came in second with Alistair in third. You should watch it. 2016 World Triathlon Championships. And that is what we're talking about here. These things that we're looking at, teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, need another. It's the one another's of Scripture. We can do that for ourselves. We can teach ourselves. We can correct ourselves, rebuke ourselves, and train in righteousness. But this is something that someone else is doing in your life. So who is that person in your life, the Alistair Bromley in your life, who's able to pick you up and run with you to completion, to finish that race? Paul was that one for Timothy. Sorry, that doesn't make any sense. Anyways, Alistair was that one for Jonathan. But we have people that are ahead of us in the race, that are more mature, that we can model after, and they're keeping the pace for us. And there are people behind us as well. There are those, we talked about Timothy's in your life, that are looking at you as you set the pace for them. People in your life that are teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training you in righteousness. And that's the same, doing the same thing for other people in their lives. So who are those people in your life? This is what we call the Titus 2 principle of discipleship. I call it that. The older training the younger. Older women training the younger women. Older men training the younger men. This is the principle that we see in Scripture. From infancy, we need to reach maturity. Whether if we've started in Christ, the call is to finish. If we've begun in Christ, the call is to complete and to continue learning, continue growing from the Scriptures. And then God puts these people in our lives along the way. Whether it is parents with our children, you have 20 years, parents, you have 20 years with your children. And that's it. You don't have the authority and influence that you have over those 20 years. This is the time to train them up, to know the Lord from the Scriptures. Well, will we ever achieve, all of us, whether we are children or whether we're adults, whether we are near the end, the finish line, or whether we're still very far away, will we ever achieve perfect Christ-likeness? We have no indication of that from Scripture. But the call is always to press on to maturity, to press on to that wisdom that leads to salvation. These are not efforts, this straining, this discipline that we have. It's not leading us to earn that salvation. Let me make that clear. It's not an earning of salvation in any way. But it is still necessary. We are to be equipped, it says here, from the Scriptures so that we strive and complete and that race into maturity. So we continue from here onward to know, to believe, and to complete as we learn wisdom for salvation. Let's pray together. Father, we are grateful, eternally grateful, for the Scriptures. We have the holy writings in our language, in the complete form. Long ago, even Timothy did not have the full, complete Scriptures of the Old and New Testament. But we have. There's nothing lacking for us. Right here, all sufficient before us. Father, enable us every day to go to your word, every day this week, that we might be growing in that grace, this means of grace from your word, to running this race with perseverance until the end. And so we pray, Father, that you would use the Scriptures, but use people in our lives to be strengthened in this race that is before us, learning this path of wisdom that leads to final salvation, being consummated in eternity with you. Lord, bless your people, those who have yet to trust in you, especially the children, that you will bring them to true saving faith even today. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.